Good morning. How's everybody doing? Good? We're going to continue in our series this morning on issues on plausible arguments. And how have you guys been doing with that so far? Everybody okay with those? Yeah? I tell you, they've been a lot of fun to teach. they have been. And it's been probably one of the more challenging series that I've ever had to teach and be a part of, simply because of the scope of the individual topics in light of what's going on in the world today. So with that in mind, I'm going to rocket through a whole lot of notes. And the reason that this is going to be quite heavy is because we're going to be talking about not just a topic, but an actual philosophy, the actual support system for what the enemy is doing in the world today. And when I mention the topic to you, you're going to say, oh, well, whatever. But when we start to bore down into it, you'll realize this is pretty comprehensive in its scope. And it has been our contention that the enemy has throwing up these ginormous smoke screens in the last days. And we have all of these things that are going on in a given topic. And we as people, because of the nature of who we are, fixate on individual components of these various topics, when in reality we need to go to the very core of what's going on. And it is incumbent upon us as Christians to understand what is going on, that understand that this isn't just a turn of events. This isn't just the next phase and whatever. This is something that we have read and known about in the Scriptures for as long as the Scriptures have been written. These are the last days of the last days. And Jesus said in Matthew 24 that if it were not, we did not shorten the days, that the deception would be so great that it would, if possible, deceive the very elect. And I think that we are, as Christians, even deceived by that. We feel like, this is just this. The enemy's plan for the church is hypnotic. Let me rock you to sleep. Let me get you so wound up in things that are not wrong so that you have no idea what's going on. My wife said an interesting thing last night. We were talking about this. She said, man, I'm surprised at how fast this happened. Yeah. These things happen rapidly because the enemy's been cultivating his plans. And now they're starting to come to fruition and they're happening fast. And there has never been a time in history where the church needs to be awake more than it is right now. Seriously. It is no longer business as usual. The days of just having a nice house and having three kids in the backyard and doing a nice job and looking forward to retirement are fast coming to an end. And we need to be prepared for that. Now, I'm not all doom and gloom because, in fact, this is the segue into that glorious event that we've been looking forward to, the return of Jesus Christ, and we should be very excited about that. So in the midst of the storm, we hold our head high. In the midst of the darkness, we look to the light. And we live in a space of rejoicing. And I thought that was such a good word this morning. We live in a space that our hope is in Christ Jesus. It's beyond us. It's transcendent. So let's live in that this morning. All right, I'm wasting time. If you have your Bibles, please turn to Deuteronomy 16, 18 through 20. You shall appoint judges and officers in all your towns that the Lord your God is giving you according to your tribes, and they shall judge the people with righteous judgment. You shall not pervert justice. Yo. Oh, sorry. Told you I was going to go fast. My bad. Deuteronomy 16, 18 through 20. Okay? You shall appoint judges and officers in all your towns. Are we good? Okay. It might be up on the screen, but it might not be. So we'll see what happens. You shall appoint judges and officers in all your towns, and the Lord your God is giving you according to your tribes, and they shall judge the people with righteous judgment. Key that word. You shall not pervert justice. You shall not show partiality. Key that word. And you shall not accept a bribe, for a bribe blinds the eyes of the wise and subverts the cause of the righteous. Justice and only justice you shall follow, that you may live and inherit the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Two more scriptures. You don't have to turn there. Isaiah 1:17. Learn to do good, seek justice, correct oppression, bring justice to the fatherless, plead the widow's cause. And then Romans 2:7-11. God will render to each person according to his deeds, for there is no partiality with him. Okay? So, brief review. We're going to get into, just so you guys know and are aware, our topic today is social justice. Social justice. And the plausible argument is that it is justice. It's a very straightforward, plausible argument. Hey, social justice is right. It champions the cause of the downtrodden. After all, doesn't Scripture say to do the things that social justice is telling us to do? And that's the key point, and that's what we have to deal with. So just as a brief overview, we've been dealing in Colossians. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son. And in so doing, we need to begin to view things from the kingdom's perspective that we've been transferred into. And be careful not to take with us the perspectives of the kingdom that we've been taken out of. All right? Because there are, as Paul goes on to say in Colossians 2, plausible arguments. And these arguments are well constructed so that they would delude you. And if you go on in Colossians, and I'm going to read this real quick in Colossians 2:6-8, therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive. And here's what we're going to be talking about today. Takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to the human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world. So a philosophy based in human tradition. That's what we're going to be talking about. What is a philosophy? Philosophy is the study of the fundamental nature of knowledge, and here are the two keys, reality and existence. Okay? So let's talk this morning about justice. What is justice? And if I'm sure that if I ask you guys, everybody would have some kind of ideology or idea about what justice is. Well, let's talk about it from a general perspective. Then we're going to look at what the Bible says about justice. Then we're going to look at what social justice actually is. Okay? So we have a very long progression to make today. So I'm going to go fast, and hopefully I will be able to cover everything because it is a massive topic. Justice. Justice defined is the maintenance or administration of what is just, especially by the impartial, keyword, judgment of conflicting claims or the assignment of merited awards or punishments. It is the administration of law, the establishment or determination of rights according to the rule of law or equity. And equity is the quality of being fair, again, or impartial. Many definitions of the term just have one individual word that's set off by itself as a definition, and that word is righteous. Are they up there? Do we have problems with the overheads? Oh, they are not built. All right. Sorry. We'll see what we can do about getting those on there. I'll try really hard to go slower then. What is just? And we have to define what is just. What is just? That which is based on behaving according. Now here's a key. What is morally right or fair? Okay, so what we've seen is a steady, progressive definition. So when these definitions are combined, what do we have? We have justice has to do with the administration of law. The administration must be impartial and proportionate to what is merited. And righteousness and justice are inseparably related. If you fully adhere to the law in deed and action, you are righteous. Okay? Additionally, it also becomes obvious that justice is the action of being just. And since being just has to do with what is morally right, the law upon which justice is determined presupposes a specific morality. So mark this. In other words, any law or system of laws upon which justice is determined is based upon a specific moral code. Law is the codification of a morality. Okay? And a morality rests on something. That's the key. Historically now in America, and you've noticed this, the law has been based in America on biblical justice. That's why you see the Ten Commandments often outside of a courtroom. But because of the difference of the basis of the morality that they are set upon, we have a very active agenda to remove those memorials from the justice halls. Why? Because the moral system that's trying to replace it can't redefine itself with those Ten Commandments sitting on the wall. So it's not just, oh, they're offensive. Oh, they are. But it actually attacks the very core of what the enemy's trying to do. Okay? And finally, it's important that we speak of these things in the church because ideological philosophies and identity politics are boldly coming into the church. And they're using the name of God and scriptures to justify their positions. Consider the following. Author Steve Mattson claims that social justice is a form of worship. And that the way that we treat immigrants and refugees is the way that we treat Jesus himself. Well, it sounds okay. But where did that statement come from? What morality base did that spring from? The Episcopal churches, and many others for that matter, restorative justice means supporting legislation that pays reparations for century-old racism. That's not justice, that's vengeance. And there's a very fine line there. Many pastors are calling for the public corporate repentance for the country's historic systemic racism. And denominations are now declaring that they are rendering Christian justice by marrying gay couples. See how it works in? Unfortunately, the social justice under which all of these efforts are made is diametrically opposed at its very core to God's justice as described in Scripture. So let's talk about that. The gospel is at its roots concerned with justice, since God himself is justice according to Moses in Deuteronomy 32:4. For there we read, "The rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are justice." A God of faithfulness and without iniquity, just and upright is he. The meaning of justice must be grounded then in who God is, since it is intrinsic to his character and his triune nature. Justice is fully actualized as an attribute of God and an expression of his own being and nature. God is infinitely and perfectly just in the relational community of the Trinity. As each person in love gives the other two persons their due. And they give it to them as their due as God. Okay? It's in proportion to who they are. True justice, then, is not something that we arrive at after social experimentation. It is something that is revealed and can only be revealed by God Himself. Justice can only be revealed by God Himself. Okay? Therefore, like Him, God's justice is transcendent. What does transcendent mean? What does it mean? It means outside of us. We don't define justice. God does. Ooh, a flicker of hope. That's all right, guys. It was a huge task to try to put some of this on slides. And so we'll do what we can to get these up. God's justice is perfect in its equity and its impartiality. Okay? That's important. Another thing is that it's immutable. Listen to this. God's justice is immutable. Why? Why is God's justice immutable? What does that mean? It doesn't change. Why is God's justice unchanging? Because it's based on a God who does not change. It doesn't evolve. It doesn't become enlightened. It's never woke. It's constant because it's based on His character. Biblical justice is coextensive with righteousness. Justice is an aspect of God's righteous character. Okay? So I'm going to give you a little Bible lesson here. In the Old Testament, a just person was someone who did what was right in accordance to God's law. In fact, the Hebrew word for justice actually means rule of law. In the New Testament, the Greek word for justice can be translated both righteousness and justice interchangeably. And both work when you read it that way. Justice, then, is inseparable from the righteousness of the law. For in Scripture, the covenant law represents the righteousness of God, and without this law, there can be no grace. One cannot truly speak of the grace of God without understanding the justice of God. Have you ever heard the phrase, all of God does all that God does? Let me say that again. All of God does all that God does. And one of the things that we're seeing in the world today is that there's this insistence on moving forward in front of all His other attributes, the love of God. Oh, well, God wouldn't send you to hell. He's love. What's wrong with that statement? Oh, about a lot. The fact that it completely excludes every other attribute of God, His justice, His holiness, His righteousness. And unless you take all of those, you cannot define love correctly. It is God's love that includes justice. For without justice, it's not love. It's permissiveness. And we have to stop chiming in with the world and equating God's love with permissiveness. God is not a permissive God. He is a God of justice. Grace to the sinner in the gospel and the poor and oppressed in society cannot then be antinomian. It cannot be without law. Since it's an aspect of God's righteousness and love and therefore essential to His law, justice is an act of grace that God gave His law to His people. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Therefore, the law of God is essential to your salvation. Biblical justice requires impartiality and proportional due restitution, irrespective of people groups. Oh, let's treat these people different because they are defined. That's not biblical justice. Justice is to give people their due, whether that be punishment, protection, or care. It is rendering impartially and proportionately to everyone his due in accordance to the righteous standards of God's moral law. That's justice. Okay? Well, how do we know what's due to a person? Well, there's multiple ways in scriptures to know that. Many times it's due because of the person and who they are, irrespective of character. Honor your father and mother. And there's nothing after that. If they do right, if they give you money, if they whatever, honor them because of who they are. Here's one that people don't like to hear. Honor the governing officials because of who they are and because God's word tells you to. Don't jump into all of this political stuff that's going on. The Bible says, pray for your leaders that it may go well with you. So, whether you love them or hate them, pray for them. Other times it has to do with what a person does. Murderers and thieves and elders who rule well. Do we treat them both the same? No. We give them the justice that's due to those things that they've done. An elder who rules well gets a just treatment. A murderer who is caught gets his due. Okay? Other times justice is due simply because of who God is. Okay? Giving to the poor is actually a form of giving to God. It's not because they are part of an identifiable group called the poor, which in my estimation is just an abstraction because it doesn't deal with individuals. It's an impersonal classification. Giving to the poor is not because they're poor, nor is it because they've done something in their poorness to merit it. We give to the poor because of who God is. Because God's law requires it out of the compassion for the vulnerable, since that is who He is. Some other additional considerations to think about when you're talking about justice and how it pertains, how it's identified biblically. Biblical justice is by definition social. So the term social justice is actually a redundant statement. All justice is enacted in social interaction. It's just the way it is. So, social justice actually means and implies something else. And we have to know what that is. Accordingly, Christian justice is predominantly displayed on a one-on-one basis or corporately through the church. Did you know that in the earlier days that the church was the one who rendered social justice? It wasn't the government. It was each church, as they collected the tithes, would then give to those around that particular church who had need. Therefore, when the people who got from the church would not go, oh, that's because I'm due it. No, they would celebrate and give thanks to God because of what His people were doing in His name. Biblical justice is almost never administered through the state. Almost never. The only time we ever see it administered through the state is in the theocracy of Israel. And Israel is a foreshadowing of what? The church. Okay? So here's something that you have to keep in mind. What is biblical justice about? It is about the restoration of God's order. It is not about the creation of a utopianized society. Mercy is basic to the law because the essence of God's justice is restitution and the restoration of His order and purposes for creation. This is how we as believers have to think about justice. And here's a statement that'll blow you away. In the end, it is only the truly regenerate who know what justice is. It sounds pretty arrogant, doesn't it? I didn't say it. Evil men do not understand justice, but those who seek the Lord understand it completely. Proverbs 28:5. Why? Because we know the author of justice. Thus, when one attempts to define justice apart from God, it leads to autonomous, rationalistic, moral theories and or relativism. where injustice becomes social beliefs agreed on at any given time by a majority. Consequently, if the Christian church does not define justice correctly, the world has no hope of knowing what it is. All right, then, what is social justice? Well, I'm doing pretty good for time. This is where I'm going to start getting into some pretty technical things. So if you can, try very hard to follow. But if you just get lost, throw your hand up. I'll back up. Seriously. Oops. So when I say social justice, what do you hear? What is social justice? Well, let me give you some definitions. A state of doctrine or egalitarianism. Egalitarianism defined as a belief in human equality, especially with respect to social, political, and economic affairs. Social philosophy advocating the removal of inequality among people. Merriam-Webster's Dictionary. The Business Dictionary. The fair and proper administration of law, conforming to the natural law that all persons, irrespective of ethnic groups, origins, gender, possessions, race, religion, etc., are to be treated equally and without prejudice. That's nothing wrong with that. Dictionary.com, and here's where it gets fun. The distribution of advantages and disadvantages within a society. I just define social justice. Social justice is a concept of fair and just relations between the individuals of society. This is measured by the explicit and tacit terms for the distribution of wealth, opportunities for personal activity, and social privilege. Social justice assigns rights and duties in the institutions of society, which enables people to receive the basic benefit and burden of cooperation. These relevant institutions often include taxation, social insurance, public health, public schools, public service, labor laws, and the regulation of markets to ensure the distribution of wealth and equal opportunity. While its definition varies depending on the source, common themes that exist across them all are the ideas of human rights, dignity, political, economic, social, and other equalities, equal distribution of resource, justice, use of policy and law, removing inequality, societal participation in change, personal responsibility, and creating access to opportunity and change through action. Lots. But in all of that, Dr. P. Andrew Sandlin just refers to social justice as Jell-O nomenclature. Right? You know what that means? When I say the word Jell-O, everybody in here goes, mental image. They know exactly what Jell-O is. Right? Define it. It's jiggly. You're not defining Jell-O. You're defining what it does when you poke it. When I say social justice, everybody goes, oh yeah, I know what that is. Okay, define it. I don't know what it is. Right. But this idea of an undefined social justice has become very popular in society today. We need to do justice. We need to oppose structures of injustice. Interestingly enough, recent emphasis on justice is concurrent with the current efforts being made to remove the created order in the name of progressivism. Why? Because social justice is the law, the codification of the morality that's promoting humanism in the world today. It is behind everything that we've talked about so far. Make no mistake, this is no benign topic. This represents the morality of the enemy. And the moment that we think otherwise is the moment that we bait into the idea that doing social justice is God's work. Nothing could be farther from the truth. Current social justice issues include, but are not definitive, but are not limited to racial discrimination, abortion rights, welfare, health care, the environment, immigration, the definition of marriage, foreign policy, poverty rates, and the economic issues. Anything that has an ideology behind it is promoted by social justice. Case in point, in the name of justice today, many governments are implementing eco-justice policies. Save the earth. The earth deserves our justice. Unfortunately, who does that hurt? The poor. Because now you're increasing costs of energy, you're increasing food costs, you're increasing the cost of living across the board. Who does eco-friendly justice affect? The poor. Is social justice equal? No. Consider this. The world is in an uproar because when people come across the border illegally, there is a separation of parent and child. Trust me, that's not a new thing. It's happened under every administration because it's in accordance with the law, whether you like that or not. But not a peep has been said about an American woman who's been tried and convicted of a felony who is taken away from her family. They're separated. Now, whatever you may think about that, that's an inequality. What about our cry for the rights of a woman, for her reproductive rights, and yet we've give not two thoughts about the justice for the unborn. And we slaughter them by the millions. Social justice isn't equality, even though it says it's all about equity. It's about an ideology. And finally, it should be remembered that although the claim of social justice might seem altruistic with regards to many of these issues, and even though we may agree that there is definitely need for justice, and we do, the believer needs to be very well thought out in the position he or she takes on any of these issues, since that position must rest on biblical justice definitions. There can be no justice apart from God and the proper administration of His transcendent law. Real justice is restorative and is therefore an integral part of the gospel. The Christian then is responsible for rendering righteous judgment, since by doing so, they declare the truth of the gospel message. The gospel is based on the justice of God. But what's really driving all of this? Where is the morality coming from social justice? Is it God's morality? Humanism. And when I say that, a lot of people just think that's a benign term. Oh, it's just the elevation of a human being. Da, 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 da. No, no, no. It is the active, aggressive replacement of any sovereignty outside of man. Let me just say something to you. When Lucifer is thrown down in Ezekiel and the nations walk by and see him being thrown down, what do they say? It's not a really popular scripture, so I wouldn't expect anybody to just go, oh, well, it says this. It says, is this the man that caused the nations to fall? Humanism is creating God in your own image. And that's what's going on here. So let's talk about this. First thing we need to do is justice is the righteous administration of a law that is itself based on a concept of morality. Thus, the morality upon which the social justice is based is nothing other than humanism. Okay? Humanism. Another way of speaking about social or public justice is social order. Every social order rests on a social theory. In other words, whether your social order rests on Christianity or humanism or some other religion, it has a creedal basis that presupposes some kind of ultimate concern or religious practice. or perspective. And behind every religious perspective is a God concept that is the source of sovereignty. And believe it or not, it's included in humanism. Humanism then incarnates their God concept in themselves, the sovereignty of which is expressed through the state. Interestingly, this is one of the reasons why we see a consistent coupling of humanism and socialism. Humanism, then, is an outlook or system of thought attaching prime importance to human rather than divine or supernatural matters. Humanist beliefs stress the potential value of goodness of human beings, emphasize common human needs, and seek solely rational ways, oh, that sounds familiar, of solving human problems. In short, humanism declares the divinity or potential divinity of the human being. Man is his own sovereign. Consequently, either we state that there is a transcendent source of justice in God, or that human imagination about justice will govern our human interactions. It's one of the two. The first of these is objective, never changes, is perfect. The other one is completely subjective, since it's based on the evolving enlightenment of the human being, which is always progressing. According to humanist ideology, humans throughout history are becoming increasingly self-conscious in their freedom and absolute autonomy. In the thinking of modern elites, what this means is that man is becoming more self-realized, actually increasing his ability to free himself from his own sense of alienation. This thought is rooted in the idea of ridding yourself of any historic concept of God and orthodox theology, which is the ultimate source of preventing the person from realizing his freedom. Sin is not really bondage. It's simply a word created by a mythical God whereby true human liberty is impeded. In this context, the nature of the created order is seen as enslaving human beings. Consequently, humans must overcome this nature in order to realize their freedom and make nature or the natural order submissive to themselves. Hear this. This is the enemy's redefinition of the Great Commission, of the Adamic Commission. Go and subdue the world. Go and subdue nature. Humanist says, go and make nature say what you want it to say. That's why we have now Christians that are attacking the idea of the created order. Justice, then, is simply an aspect of being or man's self-discovery. I wrote a scripture here, and I'm going to have to hurry, because we need to get into the idea that this is all based on socialism and Marxism. And it is. If you read the scriptures according to humanist thought, consider this. Ephesians 2:14 through 16 says, "For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man." Be not fooled. The enemy is trying to create for himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. Humanist Manifesto. For we ourselves will finally find peace once we have broken down for ourselves the dividing walls of the old natural order, traditional moral values, and external sovereignty that cause hostility within us, that we might create for ourselves interchangeable, indistinguishable human beings in a forced egalitarian system wherein we will achieve our own peace once all that interferes with our liberty has been killed. That came out of my head. Think about that. The enemy has a counter plan. So let's talk real quick about socialism, Marxism. Socialism simply is a political and economic theory of social organization that advocates the means of production, distribution, and exchange should be owned, advocates that the means of production, distribution, and exchange should be owned or regulated by the community as a whole. It is a political ideology that advocates for an egalitarian redistribution of wealth and power in society through the redistribution of society's means of production. So the idea of social justice is based on socialism that says men are equal. We have to bring men to equality, right? Now, when they say equality, they're talking about egalitarianism. It's a mathematical formula. It's an equal sign. That's why we're talking about the removal of genders, the removal of anything that might distinguish you. There's no ethnicity. There's nothing. We're just returning back to Babel before God sent everybody out so that we all look, act, and speak the same. We're all androgynous beings that can be interchanged. So the haves can't have because there are have-nots, which constitutes an inequality, a non-egalitarianism. So we must take from the have and give to the have-not. Who pays for most of the stuff? The haves. When we talk about social justice today, it almost always refers to distributive justice, taking from those who have, which is in and of itself an unjust and injustice, and redistributing it evenly to those who do not have. I have a lot of information here. But that's basically social justice, is an egalitarian system. And in this, various phrases are redefined. Remember the definition biblically of law. A codification of God's morality. That's what the law of God is. What is the law in social justice? The institution that enables the ruling class to take wealth from the producing class that created it. So we pass laws that say you have to give to that person what they don't have because you have it. Justice. Justice is the process of transferring that wealth. That's all it is. What are ethics then? Ethics is the manipulative psychology which assures that the producing class continues to demand law and justice. That we, as the producing class, are baited into the idea of screaming the cause of the what we consider the unjust so that we have to give to them what we have. And it's working. In this framework, justice is important only because it enables the transfer of wealth in a peaceable way. So we've already talked about equity versus equality. Equity is the quality of being fair and impartial. Equality, defined by social justice, is the state of being equal, especially in status, rights, and opportunities. However, because justice is ultimately based on a sovereign morality, the real definition of equality, as used by social justice advocates, is egalitarianism, which is the doctrine that all people are equal, as in a mathematical equation, and deserve equal rights and opportunities. Social justice is not just trying to equal the playing field, it's actually trying to equal the outcome. Not only do you get to have a job, you get to have a good paying job that brings you fulfillment. And if you don't have that, then we have an injustice in society and we have to rectify that. Okay? By removing distinctions and destroying God's providence, man seeks to replace God by administering his own version of justice based on this egalitarianism. And we do this in the name of equality. But really, this all goes back to Marxism. What is Marxism? Marxism is simply the human socioeconomic order that states that the human socioeconomic order with its unjust social structures, like the family, and the capitalist forms of production is the real reason man has not become self-conscious and realized his freedom. The ultimate goal of Marxism is therefore a classless society. You cannot own anything. And the family and the Orthodox Christianity are the biggest issues, because in Marxism, Christianity is seen as the religion of capitalism. Don't be fooled. Marxism is indeed a religion. I should read these things real quick so that you understand what's happening. I got a couple minutes. Can I go just a little bit more? Is everybody okay? Or somebody got a pot roast in the oven? I got a yes on a pot roast. Now let me just read this. I'll just read it. For Marx, history was a struggle not between the kingdoms of man and the kingdoms of God, but between the oppressor and the oppressed. Today, the disciples of Marx or progressivism sees exploitation and oppression at every turn and in everything. Racial minorities, non-English-speaking people, homosexuals, women, animals, even the planet are all oppressed and exploited. The oppressor is epitomized by the Christian order. Thus, Christianity for Marx is the religion peculiar to capitalism. I already said that. Deliverance then comes through a new chosen people. These are Marxist words. I didn't conform them into this making it sound right. This is Marxism. Deliverance comes through the new chosen people, the oppressed, whose exodus is detailed in the Communist Manifesto. And the sign of the coming last judgment, or the coup de grace for Marx, will be made manifest when the oppressor class joins the oppressed. Remember the definition of ethics? Or the revolutionary class in the universal mission to destroy all previous order and securities, including the family, the church, and private property. Accordingly, the role of social justice warriors is that of a prophet who calls human beings to recreate themselves, wherein they are redeemed by the abolition of any and all private property. Social man is born again, their language, freed from the sin of exploitation into welfare liberty. Social justice is Marxism. End of story. It is the codification of a morality based on humanistic thought. It has nothing to do with God's justice. Are we supposed to feed the poor? Yeah. But it's not supposed to be state-sanctioned. So this is where the gospel gets to each one of us. It's as we live in accordance to God and we one-on-one minister to the needs of the individual, we demonstrate justice by my compassion for you and my love for you. I've heard it said a lot of times that we don't know how to preach the gospel because we don't have the verbiage that you guys have. We can't do this or that. You know how you display the gospel? By justly treating each other. The greatest demonstration that you can have right now in this world, especially with all the craziness that's going on, is that you treat your fellow man with justice. And you treat him with God's justice. And God's justice defined is the restoration of the individual unto God's purposes. And in that, diversity must have its place. You cannot collapse the created order. We're seeing that right now where we're trying to get women to play in men's sports. We're saying, oh, it's equal, let them play, right? They get creamed. I'm just telling you, that's not a sexist statement, that's just a statement of fact. So what happens? They reduce the standard. What happens when everybody gets a participation medal? You reduce the standard. There's no reason to excel. That's not justice. God created him male and female. Complementary, not egalitarianism. Social justice is the extension of God's love for restorative persons on a one-on-one basis as we live out the gospel before a world that desperately needs the true and righteous justice of a living God. Don't be bought into social justice. It's a lie. Because it's the codification of humanist morality. Dig deep, find out what it is to live in absolute agreement with the morality of a living, unchanging, perfect God. And begin to display the gospel simply by extending each person their just due in Him. Right? Thus endeth the lesson.